problems. It's human nature to hate problems. But why is that? After all, problems inspire us to mend things, bend things, make things better.
Okay, great.
To rewrite the rule books.
No one's going up today?
The history books.
And liftoff.
And future books.
Floor change to tile.
That's why so many people work with IBM. On everything from city traffic to ocean plastic. From new schools to new energy. From flight delays to food safety.
You're gonna help Daddy make a salad? You want to?
Yeah. Problems even got us to the moon and back on one tank of gas. And who knows where they'll take us next.
And who knows where problems will take us next. That's the IBM commercial titled Smart Loves Problems. Smart Loves Problems? Talk about taking, you know, that's, you know, taking Bernays to reductio ad absurdum.
This humankind is one of those, has a problem. Experts.
This is one of those brilliant little sound bites that is, to me, it reminds me of the slide, the slides Larkin, Texas reminds us about. Rit Springmeyer talking about the slides that dead end critical thinking and discussion. What can you do with that? Smart loves problems. I shouldn't even repeat it. But, you know, getting back to the point, Jaron Lanier's point, that chess and technology, digital technology, share a common ancestry. Computers and chess share a common ancestry. Both originated as tools of war. George Friedman did a good job back in 2017 at Brain Bar Budapest of elaborating on that, a brief, concise elaboration. Do folks remember what is the most quoted, most oft-quoted excerpt from Sun Tzu's The Art of War? Chapter 1, Detail, Assessment, and Planning. All warfare is based on deception. And, you know, IBM has a, shall we say, colorful history. This technology is rooted in war. IBM's history is, it's, shall we just be kind and call it a checkered past? Numbering of folks. IBM is instrumental. And other eugenics kinds of operations. What does the commercial, what do they mean when they're saying that, problems inspire us to rewrite the rule books, the history books, and future books? Is that the selfish ledger, perhaps, in conjunction with Google or Alphabet, as John pointing out? And, you know, for those who don't know, when John mentions the Ouija board, speaking of Alphabet, if you get into technology and you see the naming conventions, I defy anyone to really dig into the naming conventions used in technological circles. I defy anyone to look deeply into that and just completely dismiss the peculiarities that seem to lend themselves to, I would call, an anti-biblical narrative. In other words, paying homage to something or other. Soundbites like, you know, just an anecdotal reference, Jordy Rose, in that clip that I mentioned earlier, quantum computing, artificial intelligence is here, where, you know, he's talking about the D-Wave box, the giant refrigerator, and, you know, it feels like an altar to an alien god. It's an awe-inspiring thing, at least for me. It feels like an altar to an alien god. Really? That's weird. That's a peculiar statement, I would say. You know, in a similar sense, Sun Tzu, all warfare is based on deception. The Fabian socialists have given us socialism, and seemingly irreconcilable, seemingly intractable problems. What can we do? What can we do? And you get along with that, obviously, the dialectical process, the dialectical continuum. How do you move someone from A to Z? You don't want to upset everyone and, you know, just push. You want, as the cybernetic totalists like A. Stafford Beer point out, you want control to be inbuilt. You want them to adopt control from within the organism, and a managed process takes time in Fabian fashion. By degrees, you move from this direction until 1 degree at a time, you get 180 degrees in the opposite direction. That's how you do it. Is that not a form of warfare? I mean, Fabian socialism is based on deception. The Fabian methods are based on deception. IBM has a history of deception, and yet people listen to this commercial. They're telling you problems. Inspire us to rewrite the rule books, rewrite the history books, and the future books. According to whom? Does anyone ask? Inspire us. Is there a bifurcation in there somewhere? And, you know, do people, is there a cognitive leap that's made where you're thinking us means all of us, just one group? And maybe someone who, you know, commissioned the commercial thought, if we say us, they will think us means us all. Kind of like they think when they call in, we may or may not record this conversation, but what we mean is, May gives us permission in the same way that us does not necessarily mean that all us are created alike, if you know what I mean. IBM has a history of that. People would say, well, you know, that's just, I mean, that just sounds suspicious and conspiratorial. That sounds paranoid. Does it really? I mean, if you dig into the roots, if you read Edwin Black's War Against the Weak, does it really sound paranoid? Or does it just sound like a cautious and healthy sense of skepticism? And it's interesting, you know, speaking of Lanier's You're Not a Gadget, a Manifesto, that reminds me when he's talking about the singularity, when he says the difference between sanity and fanaticism is found in how well the believer can avoid confusing consequential differences in timing. Timing, timing. So, you know, there's warfare, there's deception, a la Sun Tzu and the Art of War in the history of this technology. AI, same history, yet it's going to be the salvation of mankind. Problem? Possibly. Should we maybe just pause for a moment and adopt a healthy sense of caution? It's a, kind of a rhetorical question. Anyway, so the IBM Smart Loves Problems commercial is a, you know, again, a lulling, you know, an anesthetization, a lulling to sleep. The voiceover actress gives that speech cadence that sounds, it's sort of Barack Obama-ish. It's very authoritative. It's very NLP. To me, that's a something that slips past the guard. It's very deceptive. It's very dangerous, I think. On a more humorous, less serious note, but every bit as provocative. I like the Geico Insurance Smart Dogs commercial. Here's one. Go ahead, please.
Humankind has a problem. Experts estimate 1 in 3 crashes are caused by distracted driving. But nobody listens to the people telling people to stop. What we need is a non-person drivers will actually pay attention to. Introducing Smart Dogs. The first dogs trained to train humans. Smart Dogs will be at their best when you're at your worst. Stopping drivers from liking, selfieing, and whatever this is. These smart dogs are about to be unleashed to keep you from driving dumb.
No, Cedric, no.
So, when will they be available to the public? Never. Smart dogs are not the answer, but Geico has a simple tip. Turn on Do Not Disturb While Driving mode.
This message has been brought to you by Geico.
So there's an app for that. You know, it reminds me of press 9 to hang up. there's an app for that. Just put the device down. And, you know, this is conspiratorial. I will say this. It is my own. It's just interesting. So you watch the PBS documentary In the Age of AI, released earlier this month, and you know, you have certain folks like Alex Rodriguez, not that one, but the CEO of Embark, who's a young, I think he's 24 years old, or at the time of the making of the documentary, he was, I believe, he's one of the, you know, figureheads, I guess, or, you know, one of those kinds of folks who we hear when it comes to the autonomous vehicles, autonomous trucking kind of stuff. And, you know, he's saying, I mean, it's interesting to me how the technological movement in particular is just amazing at recruiting zealots. I'm sure, you know, you don't hear it in this sanitized version of the Frontline story, but I'm sure if we look into his background, he says, you know, I won certain contests, you know, the world science, whatever. And I'm sure that the challenges, the world challenges, these are probably the DARPA challenges that DARPA does at the local community colleges, basically conscripting innocent, naive, unassuming young people with, you know, brilliant young people with great ideas to the devil's errand of really the, you know, as Jaron Lanier puts it, an apocalypse of self-abdication and ultimately the extinction of mankind, ushering in the post-human era. Anyway, it's a remarkable thing that I think one of the biggest points that comes out of these DARPA challenges is they are amazingly effective at A, leveraging and harnessing human resources and human capital for infinitesimally fractional, you know, marginal cost, Jeremy Rifkin, Zero Marginal Cost Society. And also recruiting zealots, turning them, if they weren't already, into religious zealots on this stuff. Alex Rodriguez is one of those people. When he talks about autonomous trucking, for example, autonomous vehicles, and the story they tell, and by the way, it reminds me of John in Tennessee for a couple of reasons. You know, one being the trucking, the other, you know, the story occurs in part in Tennessee. You know, truckers will protest. The unions will, oh, well, that's okay. We'll just, you know, we don't need drivers anyway. So one of the arguments that's made that this kid Alex Rodriguez mentions is, you know, accidents. I mean, aren't we concerned about lives? Well, I don't know. We, you know, the concern is relative, obviously, because we murder millions of innocent children, and we, you know, we talk about abortion, but there are the other things. There are the pills, the day after, the month long, the this, the that. And we have been lulled into, you know, those who would have the conversation don't have it entirely. And what I mean is not to depart into that discussion, but abortion is just one aspect, because the Bible says, God tells us that he knew us from before the foundation of the world. Created us, numbered every hair on our head. He knew us before the foundation of the world. And so it's, you know, life does not begin at conception. Apparently, according to God, according to the author of life, it began before the foundation of the world. So all of this other stuff that is called birth control, speaking of terms of art, I would argue, is also a form of, a much kinder, gentler form of abortion. And it all, speaking of Edwin Black, War Against the Weak, it all correlates back to that eugenics discussion. Technology has a big part of that. Again, you know, the without, you know, devolving into that compartmentalized aspect of the discussion. Obviously, IBM has a checkered past in that arena as well. But the point is, zealots like Alex Rodriguez will tell you we have to hurry up and get to 100% autonomous vehicles, trucking in particular, because that's the only way to prevent accidents. And so to me, the conspiracy is, and by the way, is it weird that, you know, Glenn Beck mentions the trolley car dilemma, which I laughingly mention from time to time. It's ridiculous. It's absurd. How many times in your life, ask anyone you know, how many times in your life have you worried? Were you confronted with, you know, this argument, this dilemma flashed before my eyes? Do I kill grandma and grandpa? Do I run over grandma and grandpa? Or do I run over a classroom of school children in the crosswalk? Which do I run over? No one you've ever met has been confronted with that dilemma, but somehow graduate students are presented with this logical fallacy that never occurs. It's one of those unicorn things. Funny how unicorns are everywhere. As Aaron and Melissa Dykes pointed out, Melissa, in that video that she made. You know, AI is obsessed with this dilemma. Cars can't drive unless they know how to decide who to kill. Well, that sounds kind of like the violence George Friedman was talking about. Funny, that. And so that's part of the conspiracy that I find very peculiar and provocative. The other is a more tangible, pun intended, aspect of it. Is it me, or first of all, the fact that devices, you know, it's been normalized that people are driving around with them, and I think that most of the distracted driving laws actually lend themselves to more distracted driving. I'll just put it down here, you know, below where it can be seen, and that way, well, you're probably going to cause an accident. That way, that's probably what's going to happen. But not just that, the tactile surfaces in automobiles are gone. Touch screens in an automobile, how that creates distracted driving, doesn't it? And all the buttons, there is no tactile feedback, no tactile response. And therefore you have to look at it, don't you? So even without phones, it seems like the way that vehicles are made these days, automobiles, lends itself to that sort of thing. We'll be right back. Experience with Extendivite.
Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You flow like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special, but I'm a
welcome back. We'll move on. I should be clear. Actually, the PBS Frontline episode, season 2019, episode 5, aired originally November 5, 2019. But I want to get to that this week. I think everyone should watch and or listen and understand the implications. But speaking of deception, is it me or is it just patently dishonest to say, you know, PBS Frontline, PBS is made possible by viewers like you, and then the MacArthur Foundation, and then the Ford Foundation, and John and Helen Glessner Family Trust, Abrams Foundation, Park Foundation, and the Frontline Journalism Fund, and John and Joanne Hagler on behalf of John Hagler Foundation, and is it me, or is that patently dishonest? And as I've mentioned in the past, for those who don't know, Stockholm Syndrome is what we're talking about here. It gets you to buy into the propaganda. I usually say PBS is not starving for cash. The Ford Foundation isn't running out of money. They weren't in the 50s when they spent $10 million to investigate Congress investigating foundations. It's just a way to get you to buy into and own the propaganda in Stockholm Syndrome fashion. Then you will defend your kidnapper. How could this be wrong? It's a psyop. That's all. Anyway, I think it's patently dishonest. I think it should be obvious on the face of it. It's made possible by viewers like you. Really? Do you really think that viewers contribute as much as all of the foundations do? I highly doubt it. Anyway, enough on that. Back to the phones. Glenn in Philly again. Glenn, thanks for calling back. Welcome.
Hello, Chris. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, very good.
Yes, sir.
Go Gadget Copter. One day, my propeller beanie is going to take me to the beach. Who would have imagined that Professor Gadget was a transhuman kind of guy?
Yeah.
But the
guy who got to play the War Games kid and Inspector Gadget, Matthew Broderick.
Oh, cosmic, dude. Didn't realize that. The reason I called was about the iPhone thing. And I'm thinking the technophiles are going to say that sometimes swords get beaten into plowshares, and they would point out things like the fact that the interstate highway system during the Cold War in the Eisenhower administration was commissioned as the world's largest engineering project ever undertaken by man to facilitate mobility for the military.
Yep.
And yet here we are today, with it being employed primarily for civilian, travel. So they're going to say, though sometimes these things are started as swords, they sometimes get beaten in plowshares. What do you think?
I completely agree. And so, you think back, I think back a few years, 10 years, 13 years ago or so, we were all talking about Canamex and the transportation routes that are going to be used for distribution of goods. And now, when you put that together with Michael Kaufman's work talking about the biodiversity convention and the rewilding of the North American continent. Basically, we need a super interstate where trucks can drive themselves to transport goods, and you'll have light rail from wherever to wherever, traveling 200 miles an hour or whatever, and people don't need to drive themselves around anymore. No more personal transportation. It's just,
well, first they're going to have to come up with a self-driving vehicle that doesn't crash into things, because thus far they haven't.
Right, exactly.
Well,
yeah, yeah. Never mind the facts. Never mind that, what was it, Elon Musk just crashed his truck recently, and the self-driving stuff, the autonomous stuff crashes all the time and hits things all the time, including people, and even Elon Musk, apparently has issues, but whatever. Don't worry about that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's kind of amazing. Think about where the problem? How many million man miles are driven?
Exactly. Yep. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last two decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendovite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The seven herbs in Extendovite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendovite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendovite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you. And in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Welcome back. Bottom of the third hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast already, this Tuesday, December 10th, 2019. I want to get to this long-form content this week. Everybody needs to listen to this stuff and understand the implications in the next 5 to 10 years. It's coming. I think we're on the, toes dangling over the edge of the precipice of having to, will be faced with some difficult questions. I'll talk about those in a second. Some things just from the frontline PBS documentary titled In the Age of AI. Right now we're on the phones. Go ahead, Glenn.
Okay, hopefully you can hear me better now, Chris.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good, good. Sorry about that. I love that Sinatra song. It's an entreaty to commitment. He's inviting a woman to, he's just trying to make an honest woman out of her, wants her to commit to life with him, and he's, you know, getting her to give up the life of romantic, being a romantic butterfly, flitting from man to man.
Yeah.
But how contrary to the modern way. But
I think it has an allusion to this discussion of technology and the romantic nature of it, you know, to the allure of thinking that technology can save us all from ourselves. And just doesn't quite ever seem to work out that way.
Yeah, exactly.
We're just one more algorithm away. Just one more. Anyway.
Yeah, but gotcha. But as relative to technologies and good and evil, okay, you know, I just think of it, it's God who holds everything together. It's God who prevents, you know, in him we live and move and have our being, and you know, the whole creation, you know, is held together by him. So, and unfortunately, they can do nothing except the Father allow it. So, you know, I do have that sense that, you know, we would have blown ourselves, the kingdom come, long ago if God didn't prevent it, you know. And yeah. they might devise ways of doing evil, you know, devise ways of doing evil. But for the moment, it's interesting, during my life, all these things of warfare, you know, we've seen nuclear medicine, which does some good, you know, we've seen the interstate highway system used for civilian transportation primarily. We've seen the phone technologies, you know, developed by military research used for civilian purposes. So for the moment, they're certainly not doing the worst evil they could do, but when God finally acquiesces and judges us for abortion or something like that, I always think of the scripture that talks about God sending fire on those who dwell carelessly in the coastlands, you know. That could well be, people talking about American prophecy, that could well be us. You know, we are certainly the coastland dwellers. And, you know, perhaps, you know, in the prophetic sequence of events, we may end up falling prey to this nuclear warfare thing. You know, and that global warfare, the fellow talks about, you know, when the time of civilian use of these devices comes to an end, we may find ourselves being the ones judged, you know, with fire in the coastlands. But anyway, all right, Chris, I'm done. I'll get out of the way.
All right.
Take care. Have a great week.
Thanks, Glenn. Thank you. You too. I think I would, you know, my counter to that last bit would be that I would say that is the perception. It is definitely the perception that this technology is being used in a more of a civilian application. But I think, you know, upon closer examination, maybe there's more to that story, you know, and it's kind of a mafia, keep your friends close and your enemies closer, NSA, you know, meets DARPA's, what was it, the TIA, Total Information Awareness Office. Oops, too soon? Was that too soon? You're not supposed to know about the old Baconian John Dee society that will see all and be seen by none. You're not supposed to know about the, you know, the all-seeing eye that wants to counterfeit God's omniscience. I think there's more to it, and I'll just leave it at that for now. In the interest of time, a few quick things. And we'll go back to the phones here in a second. So from the, I guess maybe first, well, yeah, I'll do from the, just a couple of observations, and we'll, I think we'll play this, you know, this week, maybe tomorrow, maybe the next day, but In the Age of AI, the Frontline documentary, November 5, just a couple of segments, how an AI scientist turned her breast cancer diagnosis into a tool to save lives. And that sounds definitive, doesn't it? But in this documentary, as in with all of these kinds of things, technology related, there's always that seductive allure. But if you listen carefully through it, like in all things, you'll hear may, it could, will it? There's always the question. It's the suggestible's question that leads people forward, always falling forward. All we need is just one more math problem. Anyway, then there's a segment about how China's government is using AI on its Uyghur Muslim population, which is something that Glenn Beck and Jeff Brown discuss, and others, you know, the mainstream press is telling us that China's oppression of the Uyghur population, particularly using this kind of surveillance technology on the Uyghur Muslim population, and then the re-education stuff that I talked about yesterday, is all, you know, oppressive and abusive. Well, gosh, that sounds kind of like Edwin Black's War Against the Weak, doesn't it? It sounds, you know, similar. So, but it's a softer, kinder, gentler war. It's those are low intensity operations. So it's not war. It's not actual war. Okay. Well, we are immersed in marinating in these kinder, gentler, softer, desensitizing, dehumanizing Orwellian terms. We couldn't just, you know, and I was watching the coverage of just as a sort of mindless departure, momentary, folks talking about the Patrick Reed incident in golf, you know, and Rory McIlroy, there was one interview with him, him in particular, talking about the Patrick Reed incident, the moving sand deal, the cheating is what people used to call it. Anyway, and, you know, the commentators that were talking to Rory McIlroy were both former tour players, and they both expressed concern about how ambiguous language is now and how things that used to be black and white are now apparently shades of gray. Anyway, I don't think any of that is an accident, and we're speaking to that. So anyway, back to the PBS stuff. Artificial intelligence can be biased, this segment. Here's what you should know. Yeah, it can be biased. I wonder why, and I wonder, yeah, again, we've talked about that. And so if you put your hands, you place your full, you know, salvation, as it were, metaphorically, in the hands of something that can be biased this way, you know, problems maybe. The segment, could the rise of artificial intelligence put truckers' jobs in peril? Again, the suggestible question. That's the whole, that's the point. It's designed to do that. And again, for those who don't know, read Jeremy Rifkin's Zero Marginal Cost Society, The Internet of Things, Not People, The Collaborative Commons and the Eclipse of Capitalism, and understand in the supply chain, the distribution chain, what is the greatest marginal cost? And just kind of work back from there. Could the rise of artificial intelligence put truckers' jobs in peril? And then finally, speaking of that, this segment, the jobs robots can't do, at least not yet. And, you know, you can't help but think of Jordy Rose saying, what are you going to do when we have a robot that can do everything? There's the distinction, you know, There are the distinctions in the artificial intelligence world, and basically it comes down to a machine that can replicate a certain work or function versus the one that has a comprehensive subject matter command and expertise on, you know, kind of a Renaissance robot, maybe. Anyway, so that's interesting. The other thing that I'll mention quickly, just a few stories along these lines, which Glenn's call makes me think of, and, you know, also this other subject matter. These articles are coming out, and I don't think, you know, a lot of this stuff coming out, right, you know, this documentary, the description they have on PBS, Frontline investigates the promise and perils of artificial intelligence, from fears about work and privacy to rivalry between the U.S. and China. Yeah, right. The documentary traces a new industrial revolution. Oh, you mean the one Klaus Schwab has been talking about? The fourth industrial revolution that will reshape and disrupt, you know, disruptive innovation. It's great. Disruptive used to be a bad thing, but apparently now it's a buzz term. That will reshape and disrupt our lives, our jobs, and our world, and allow the emergence of the surveillance society. Wait a minute. What? So I don't think it's a coincidence that these kinds of things, you know, surveillance capitalism, I mean, thinking of the Uyghurs, it's just predatory capitalism, which goes back a long time, obviously. Anyway, I don't think this documentary and the stories that I'm going to mention and so many other things that seem to be, you know, a coalescing of information, I don't think it's a coincidence that the World Economic Forum is coming up, speaking of the Fourth Industrial Revolution, talk of the New Silk Road, the, you know, other stuff, Saudi Arabia's tech innovations, all that stuff. You know, there's rumblings of those things too. Anyway, so Reuters 2 days ago, jobs of the future are clustering in a handful of U.S. cities, study finds, of course. So, before I mention the cities, and by the way, who did the research? Research from the Brookings Institution, released on Monday, shows the problem cuts deeper than many thought. Yeah. Brookings Institution economist Mark Murrow. You know, who's that guy? And by the way, who's Jeremy Rifkin? What's his background? How has he been the mouthpiece over the years? Anyway, and this rippled, you know, so this is what happens. Comes out through the think tanks, Reuters, New York Times, a few cities have cornered in innovation jobs. Can that be changed? Suggestibilist question. Wall Street Journal, five cities account for vast majority of growth in tech jobs. Study finds. One American News, jobs of the future are clustering in a handful of U.S. cities. Study finds. Citing the Reuters article. Axios. Anyway. So, you know, and Vox, same thing. Everybody's echoing this. 90% of the Vox Recode headline, 90% of growth in high-tech jobs happened in just five metro areas. And this is yesterday. A new report from the Brookings Institution and the Information Technology and Innovation Foundation finds that technology jobs and economic prosperity are concentrated in a fewer U.S. cities. And there are really strange little sort of ripples in this discussion. So one of them, where is that? There's that story that I saw yesterday. There's a little town, what is it, in Tennessee? The high-tech place that brags, you know, they have fast internet. Anyway, back to this story. The spoiler, it's Boston, San Francisco, you know, the Bay Area, where they have so much fun with the homeless population and robots kicking people off of the sidewalks where the ISPCA folks work, and or ASPCA or whatever the heck it is. You know, the anyway. Whatever. For some reason, my brain just went blank. Anyway, Boston, San Francisco Bay Area, San Jose, Seattle, and San Diego. Those are the five areas accounted for 90% of all U.S. growth in innovation sector jobs. And so obviously the, you know, the data is, we you know, this corresponds to what Glenn and I were talking about, you know, trying to, again, if we can't rewild, if we can't just, you know, force this to happen, rewilding of the North American continent, then we will incentivize you. We'll sprinkle some breadcrumbs and have you gravitate out into those urban centers. Those places where prosperity. Anyway. The Axios, you know, just a continuation of this, a couple of other headlines, kickstarting tech hubs beyond the usual suspect cities. And they tell you in Axios, just like you, you know, you're always told why it matters. That article talks about that. Engadget, China bans all government departments from using U.S.-made technology. Another tit for tat in the war over Huawei, which is interesting because, you know, as folks have pointed out, there is Chinese technology rattling around all over in the United States. And do people realize that that whatever goes through those devices, that hardware and software, it circulates back through the Chinese government? And of course, you know, that is just a proxy for other, you know, Five Eyes, whatever, 14 Eyes folks. You know, so this story, the Engadget, it rattled around too. The Guardian, China tells government offices to remove all foreign computer equipment. Directive is likely to be a blow to U.S. multinational companies like HP, Dell, and Microsoft. And this is, these are just a couple of other interesting entries, just maybe just one. Neighbors have no say over placement of new 5G towers. Speaking of 5G, that was a story published yesterday in the Columbus Dispatch. Neighbors have no say over placement of new 5G towers. I'll throw that in the archives. Just interesting stuff, things that are happening, and, you know, all around us, it is becoming a brave new world, and people don't even know. Back to the phones, Mike in Kentucky. Thanks for calling. Welcome.
Oh, yeah, you can. I was back in the spring. I think I was in Dollywood for a family trip. I was pretty miserable. Enjoyed some of the roller coasters, but there was a lot of the lines that were hanging up, and these youngsters would be just, I mean, they're here at an amusement park senior day, and they're sucked into their phones, tweeting away or whatever they do, you know. And the ride attendants, some of them were older, they were getting very irritated. Move the line along, you know, because they'd be sucked into their phone. And so I took the opportunity to ask them if they'd seen Snowden or the heard of Ed Snowden. Nobody knew about it. I heard some people, a youngster at one place, talking about they were binge-watching this or that, and I could tell they were Christian. I think they had a T-shirt on there. I said, hey, you know who Jim Caviezel is, you know? Yeah, that guy was in the Passion of Christ. And mm-hmm. I said, have you ever seen Person of Interest? No. I said, well, you need to binge-watch that, because mm-hmm. that's where we're at, you know, and that while that show was coming on, a lot of the stuff that was in the script was being was coming out about the whistleblowers, you know. At the mm-hmm. same time, there's even a guy that interviewed Jim Caviezel.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be an interview about his some movie where he played a villain, and it was near the end of the fifth season, I think, and he's outside in New York, and it's just huge, noisy, really noisy. But he asks, the interviewer asks Jim Caviezel, says, do you think somebody on your staff is, you know, working with the NSA, you know, and he really wouldn't answer that question.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, instead, what he said was, you know, I gave up the internet. And he goes, what do you mean you gave up the internet? Well, I said, well, I have a phone, but, and he goes, what do you do? Can you use pigeons? You know, the guy was making fun of him because he got off the internet, and he said, when I try to tell people this stuff, it didn't count. It had to come out of, you know, some credible source, and he named off Fox News and CNN, which is kind of a joke. Poor Jim Caviezel thinks they're a credible source. I was just leading into this.
Who knows? Maybe that was because that's something that, you know, I mean, maybe he's talking about the general public, but yeah.
Yeah, that's what he's talking about, his friends and family. They didn't believe him when he tried to tell them about this, about their phone mics being hot and all this. Like you say, the 13 eyes or 14 eyes or whatever, but you know, originally you were talking about paranoia when I decided to call, and if I could copyright a phrase here, paranoia is often defined by the ignorant. Well, you think about it. They're the ones that say you're paranoid because they don't want to deal with it. Because if they have to admit that what you're telling them is true, then they're going to have to change their lifestyle if they want to protect their privacy or the privacy of their children, you know. Yeah. This was the Amazon Dot now or something, the speakers marketed to children that are hot, you know, listening in all the time. That's been going on with these phones. It's not paranoia to be aware of this, you know.
Yeah.
And to shut that down is a nice de facto psychological operation to label anybody that is concerned about their privacy. Because basically, our privacy is in the way of all the business models. It's in the way of the business
models. Well, certainly what is being referred to as surveillance capitalism, but people think of that. To me, that's just another term of art that sort of dead ends the thinking about the perils of where that's headed. Because it's just another mile marker on the road to complete and total technocratic enslavement.
I've been socially shunned and labeled conspiracy theorist for 20-some years, going back to a previous job that I had, you know, where when I was the only one in the shop, I'd flip it over to talk radio and listen to that, and one of the workers generically said, you need to watch that movie Conspiracy Theory, rather derogatorily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there's a Newsweek reporter that's resigned, that gal that resigned. That's what I wanted to talk about. Are you out of time today?
Yeah, we sure are.
Oh, yeah. Great example for why I don't want to work for lamestream media. You try to bring this up and you get threatened with legal action. So that gal resigned. Yeah. I don't blame her one bit. Talk to you soon. All right.
Thanks, Mike. Much appreciated, as always. That'll do it for today's broadcast, and as always, I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.